I'm Rayburn Johnson.
And I'm Steve Sensenig.
Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Box.
Here's a chance to step outside the boundaries of institutional religion and explore the wide open spaces of our freedom in Christ.
We don't claim to have a corner on the truth, and a lot of what you will hear is just two guys thinking out loud.
So come on and join us as we journey Beyond the Box.
Hello, Steve.
Hey, Ray. How you doing, man?
Our first podcast.
Yeah, this is exciting. I'm really pumped about doing this.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
For a while.
Yeah, it's a lot of our listeners probably don't know. You and I have been getting together almost weekly for, what, 2.5 years now?
Yeah, something like that.
Started out having lunch together and then switched to breakfast eventually, and we've actually been able to add one or two people as we've gone along. And just spending a few hours each week thinking beyond the box.
Beyond the box. Says yeah. It all.
That's right. And we've decided to take it to podcasting and share sort of the off-the-cuff kind of thinking process that we've been doing for a while and share that with some people online.
So when we talk about going beyond the box, when you think of the box, what do you think of?
For me, the box represents basically everything I was brought up in institutionalism, thinking that there were boundaries to what questions were acceptable, what questions were not acceptable to ask, even going to the point of saying, to go beyond the box and saying, you know, I've always heard that this scripture passage means X.
Yeah.
And how do we know that it means X? And sometimes you find out that it's because some commentator said it and everybody just kind of ran with that and kept that as the common interpretation. And it's been an exciting challenge for me. And I know for you too, to really begin to just ask those questions for ourselves and say, how do I know that that's what it means? And can I know that that's what it means? A lot of times, unfortunately, that gets sort of swept aside as just postmodernism.
Yeah.
And, you know, can't really know anything. There's no truth, you know, everything's relative, but that's really not what it's about. I believe there is absolute truth, and I believe his name is Jesus.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think one of the things we've talked about is the fact that, you know, there's this misnomer in the body of Christ that truth is either absolute or it is relative.
Right.
If it's relative, then we automatically write it off as postmodernism, guilt by association.
Yeah.
You must be a postmodernist. But if Jesus is the absolute truth and he is a person and Jesus relates to us, then that by itself makes truth relative.
Yeah.
Which means that, you know, he's going to relate truth to you differently than how he relates it to me. And maybe even going a step farther, that there are going to be truths that are true for you that aren't going to be true for me. There's going to be certain absolutes that that all of us will embrace, but there might be things that he speaks to you that won't necessarily apply to me. So there's got to be some grace.
Let me give you a silly example. You were led of God to marry a particular woman. Yeah. I was not led of God to marry that same woman.
Thank God.
And I'm sure my wife is very glad to know that.
We do not live in certain places.
That's all right. No, that is not us. But you know, that's really silly to say it that way. But the reality is there are ways that God speaks to us about things in our life that don't apply to everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that for me, it's a great definition of the box, of what the box is. For me, even maybe a little more literalistic, first of all, I do believe that it is religious obligation, that the box is religious obligation.
Yeah.
But I think that, like I say, to be a little more literal, that the box sometimes is what we call church.
It's the actual four walls of that
building. It's a four-wall box.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, if you've got a really fancy church, it might be a pentagon. Or
yeah, that's
you know,
true. Yeah,
but it's a
more contemporary churches.
Yeah, a more contemporary box.
That's right. We have stadium seating in a semicircle
that's
around
right.
the podium, you know.
We got the Slope Theater and everything.
That's right.
But it's still a box.
Yeah,
and to
is.
Me, I think that so many times our fellowship in the body of Christ has been based on whether or not we embrace the same doctrines, the same creeds, whether or not we can dot all our I's and cross all our T's theologically at the same time. And if we can't, then what we do is separate fellowship from each other.
Right.
And we move to a new box.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of moving beyond that box and realizing that it's about relationship, first of all with Jesus, and then with others.
Each other, yeah.
And I think that's what 1 John was hitting on when he said, you know, we've written these things that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ.
Right, so the two go hand in hand. Fellowship
Absolutely.
With Christ implies and necessitates fellowship with others.
The two great commands. I mean, love God first, love people. If you don't love people, you don't love God.
Right, yeah. Right. Unfortunately, that even that idea of relationship with each other does get squeezed into a box so that we think that it's a formal thing. And, you know, you and I have both been outside of institutional expressions of Christianity for a while now.
Yeah.
For me, it's been, gosh, over 4 years.
Wow.
You've been out already for two years, is it?
A little over 2 years, yeah.
And the response that we get a lot of times from people when we talk about that is, oh, you're forsaking the assembly of yourselves. Yeah. As if we can't be in relationship with others outside of that box of the church. And the reality is we are.
Approach.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And the fellowship becomes very contrived then.
Yeah.
It's
forced.
It's forced. Yeah. You know, it's stand up and greet each other while the band plays a little louder for the next 15 seconds.
Have fellowship for 30 seconds.
Yeah. Or you might have a potluck dinner every so often or whatever. And let me just interject right here, because I know you and I are going to want to put a lot of disclaimers on these podcasts. We're going to want to say, wait, this is not what we mean. We're shooting from the hip here. But we're not saying that fellowship doesn't take place in the institution.
Absolutely, absolutely not.
But I think, and I think you would agree with me, that the institutional structure gets in the way of that fellowship, and it prohibits it from being the free, organic expression that we found sitting in a restaurant on Friday mornings having breakfast.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I think that while you can find fellowship in those places, I think what people mistakenly do when they do find fellowship in those places is they mistakenly look at that as the stamp of God's approval.
Right.
That must be the way that God creates fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
It must be in an institutional framework with clergy and laity, with leadership and followers, and that if it doesn't occur in that environment, it's not true fellowship.
It's not truth, yeah.
And while I'm totally with you, I think that fellowship does happen in those kind of environments. I agree wholeheartedly with what you said, that usually those environments are actually a hindrance instead of a help. I think it happens in spite of the environment instead of because of the environment.
Right. And I can't tell you how many times, either as a layperson or as a staff person, and we've both been in both situations, how many times I've been involved in a discussion with someone or a conversation before the worship service. Oh, I guess our listeners can't see
can't
the air
quotes.
Yeah. I'm putting my fingers up here as quotes. Before the service started, I'd be involved in a discussion or some kind of, you know, even just ministering to someone in some respect, in sharing with them or encouraging them or praying for them. And it's cut off because we've got to go on to the service, you know, and you want
How dare you overstep that?
Exactly.
One minute and
you
half.
Can't miss, especially if you're the worship leader, you got to get up on stage and start the music. You can't fill out that relationship and just go with the spirit in that sense. You've got to be interrupted by the institution.
Yeah. It's very much, so much of the institutional framework is very contrived because, you know, even our order of service, and it doesn't matter whether you go to a traditional church, if you go to a more contemporary or Pentecostal charismatic church, they all have a form. You know, in the traditional churches, it's usually, you know, a hymn, an offertory, another hymn, a sermon, and an invitation. Whereas in the charismatic church, it's two fast songs, two slow songs,
<That's right.
laughs> an offering, do a sermon, and give an invitation at the end.
Yeah.
So, but in either way, you're basically limiting God to God. You've got this long to work and you've got to do it in this way. I remember the church that the last church I came from, great people, great hearts, love God. But I remember, you know, we had what we called ministry time.
Yeah.
And that ministry time might be 5 minutes, it might be 10 minutes, but that was the time that God was allowed to minister.
That's right. That was his time of the program.
And I'm thinking, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We talk about, you know, we sing songs for 45 minutes about how we invite you, Holy Spirit, come and move among us. And then we give him 5 minutes to do what he wants to do.
Right, exactly.
And I don't know. I've gotten beyond the place of, feeling like I've got to force God into my mold, into my box.
Right, exactly. Well, we've pretty much put all our cards out on the table right from the get-go here in terms of where we stand on institutionalism.
And maybe before we go, it would be good for people to know just a little bit of our background.
Yeah, sure.
Just a little bit so that they don't think we're just, you know, who are these two guys?
Right. What right do they have to ask these questions?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Tell them a little bit about yourself, Steve.
Well, I grew up in southeastern Pennsylvania and grew up in a very traditional, it was an independent church, but it was very Baptistic in doctrine. Mm. And since I've had experience later on in life with Baptist churches, I can see there were a lot of similarities, even in function and polity and just the way things were done. So anybody that's listening that's from a Baptist background, they could pretty much relate to what I grew up with. I went into the ministry as a vocation after leaving college. I graduated from Bible college and went into a ministry of music and then went into the pastorate. I was associate pastor in an independent Baptist church. Then I moved to Dallas, Texas to study at Dallas Theological Seminary. I did not finish my degree there, but I did study for a while there. And when I was in Dallas, I got involved in more of the seeker-driven type mentality, the Willow Creek model.
Yeah.
Sometimes a little bit of a mixture of Willow Creek and Saddleback,
right?
Where you sort of seeker-sensitive but not seeker-driven. You know, there's seeker, all these little
purpose
seeker-driven. Yeah, exactly. 40 days of driving seekers. Something, I don't know.
Is that kind of like driving Miss Daisy and driving
the seekers? Yeah. Got involved in that. Yeah, a lot more contemporary music in the churches and stuff. I'm a musician. I'm a keyboardist. So I've used those talents in the church. And I actually then also ended up getting involved in a Pentecostal church in Austin, Texas, and now have moved up to the mountains of North Carolina 4.5 years ago to marry my lovely wife.
There's a shout out.
That's right. Love you, Christy. And at that point when we moved to North Carolina was when we stepped out of the institution altogether. And since then have just been exploring and examining and thinking and praying and hoping and trying to figure out what the body is supposed to be like.
Yeah.
But knowing what I've experienced as not being a full expression of freedom in Christ.
Yeah.
How about you, Ray? What's your past?
Very similar. However, I'm not from Pennsylvania. I've got the Southern accent, if you can't already tell.
I've got one too now.
Yeah, you're inheriting it.
That's right.
It's contagious.
That's right. I wasn't born here, but I got here as fast as I could.
Good call. Same thing. Grew up Southern Baptist. Very, you know, conservative evangelical mm-hmm. Southern Baptist church. Came into the charismatic movement in the mid to late 90s. From the charismatic church, I was in a four square church at the time. Went to a four square Bible college, transferred from there to go to a Word of Faith Bible college. I was very involved in the Word of Faith movement. Graduated from a Word of Faith Bible college, came back to the four square church in order to work under the pastor there so that I could go plant a non-denominational charismatic church in another town in this area.
You weren't actually going to plant under the Foursquare denomination?
That was possible. I mean,
okay.
It was kind of up in the air, but the whole reason I moved back to North Carolina
mm-hmm.
Was to work under the pastor I had been under and then go from there to plant another church.
Oh, okay.
But during that process, you know, just God moved in my heart. Really started in the first Bible college I was at, realizing that everything just didn't click.
Mm-hmm.
Some things just weren't adding up for me, but kind of ignored those things and pressed
them down. Well, there's a lot of fear in trying to ask those questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm with you.
A lot of fear. And you know, from there, I transferred to the other Bible college thinking that that was the answer.
Mm.
Went to that Bible college. Great experience. But once again, I found a lot of what, not just what it was, but I found a lot of what it wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah.
No, you know, nothing against the people, just a lot of things that didn't add up for me there as well. Came back, and my wife actually left the institutional framework probably about a year before I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I just began to ask a lot of questions during that time, and then I met you. And we began to go out. It was a godsend. It was we began to talk about some of the things that had been in my heart,
right,
but that I'd never heard anyone say until I met you.
Yeah.
And you began to voice a lot of the things that were going on inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I left the institution over a period of months. I've been out for a little over 2 years. And just like you, exploring those wide open spaces, getting out of the confines of what I've always been told it has to look like,
mm-hmm.
and experiencing freedom that my security is not based in a doctrine or
right.
in a systematic theology or in a denominational framework,
mm-hmm.
but that it's based in a person.
Yeah.
And because it's based in that person, I have the freedom to be able to tinker with my beliefs,
mm-hmm.
To tweak those, to make sure that, you know, to question things.
Yeah.
And
well, to make sure you're reflecting the experience that you have with the person of Jesus Christ, exactly. Not just what you've been taught.
Not parroting something.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
very much. And that's where I've gotten to be, is realizing for maybe the first time in my life, beginning to get a complete realization that I am totally secure in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm totally secure, I now can explore with freedom.
Yeah.
And that is really, talk about a load off your shoulders.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Really awesome.
I want to fly like an eagle.
Oh, no, you know? We're not doing singing on this podcast, are we?
Karaoke.
Woo.
On Beyond the Box.
That's right. I'll do the keys. You do the vocals.
Oh, man.
Good stuff. But the freedom in Christ is amazing. And, it's really ironic because when you're in that system and you don't know anything else, you think that you're free by knowing facts and propositional statements and systematic theology. And yet somehow that doesn't bring the freedom that I think we were destined to experience.
Well, I think one of the verses a lot of people quote is, Jesus in John 8, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that.
And the thing is what we equate that with, to know the truth means I know the right facts about
God.
Right,
exactly.
Whereas Jesus says, I am the truth.
Yeah.
I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the truth. The truth is a person. It's not a propositional statement. It's not a doctrine. Therefore, I think what he was saying was, when you realize that I am the embodiment of truth, when you realize that truth is a relational experience, not an intellectual experience, then you'll be free.
Right.
But we've substituted that for, reading more books, going to Bible college.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the more I learn about God, the closer to God I'll be. But the truth is, for at least my own experience, I never got a delivery on the promise.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
It
never set you free.
It never set me free.
Yeah.
It was always one more book in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a carrot dangling from me. If I could just read one more book, if I could just go to one more conference,
right.
If I could go to one more seminar, if I could maybe get my master's in divinity instead of just going to Bible college.
Well, and all the marketing hype does that for us. The publishers will tell you, and because you work in the book industry, the Christian booksellers industry, the publishers will tell us, this is the book you've got to read. This is the book of the year. Or
this will change your life.
This will change your life. Yes. Life. And it feeds that mentality. And, I've known people who just are always running to the next conference, always trying to get that fresh word from God that'll change their life.
Mm.
And somehow it never really, like you said, I like the way you phrased it. The promise is never delivered.
Yeah.
You never get that payoff of freedom in Christ.
It's very old covenant.
It's
like the promise is made, but
right.
The fulfillment's, we either do one of two things. We either delay fulfillment to the next seminar or the next move of God, next revival, whatever we want to call it. Or if you're in a more traditional slant, you delay it to heaven.
Right, exactly. Yeah, all those promises are for eternity, future.
Yeah.
This life, you just kind of have to grit your teeth and get through it till you can get
to
heaven.
I'm just a pilgrim wandering through this weary land. It's like that old song, that old hymn that said...
Are you going to sing again?
I'm barely clothed and poorly shod, but at the end is God.
Oh, there you go. And that was a visual I didn't really need.
Did you see barefoot in a cabin?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of scary. I'm hearing dueling banjos here.
There you go. That'll be the next podcast.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, it's that delay of the fulfillment is something that we almost then get used to.
Yeah.
And we just figure that, it's not really meant for me right now.
Yeah.
The other problem that I see a lot of times is that we'll feel a sense of fulfillment in that conference or while we're reading that book. But then when we're done and we come away from it, life just seems to return to what it was.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really last. And
we've even come up with a theology to defend that, where we talk about mountaintops and valleys.
Right. Exactly.
God will put you on the mountains so that you can get refreshed. But then he's going to send you through the valley.
Right, exactly.
And we've actually created a whole theology based around...
Which I can't think of any scripture passage that reveals that concept.
I mean, people will run to Psalm 23 and say, well, you know, it leads me through the valley of the shadow of death. But I don't think that's...
You know, actually, it doesn't say that. That's the irony of it. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Good point.
So I'm not convinced that he leads us through, because there are comments in Psalm 23 about he leads me beside still waters.
But
he doesn't lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. We walk through there, but he goes with us.
Yeah.
So I don't think that we can blame that on God.
I don't either. I think you're right on that.
But one of the things that I know you and I are going to want to explore in this podcast as we go is that the freedom that we have in Christ stops us, or frees us really, from having to seek that freedom.
Yeah.
That it's something we already have.
It's a byproduct
of
our relationship.
It is. It is. And Hebrews talks a lot about Jesus being our Sabbath rest. Mm. That we stop our working. We stop the striving and the struggling. And we just rest in Christ because he's done it.
It's like that scripture in Hebrews that you just mentioned, you know, where he says, he who enters into his rest ceases from his labors, just as God did from his. But so much of what we get in the institution is work for Jesus.
Yep.
If you're going to be a good soldier for Jesus or a good servant of God, you got to work. And you know, so much of what we base that around is an old covenant mentality that says we're to be servants of God. And then Paul comes along the book of Galatians, knocks that one out of the park and says, you're no longer slaves. You're sons of God.
Yeah.
And a son is someone who belongs to the house and who benefits from servanthood, not who is a servant himself.
Mm-hmm.
Any serving that I think we do of God is something that comes out of a heart of love. Just like when you serve your wife, you don't serve your wife to have a relationship.
Right.
You serve your wife because you love her and because the relationship is freely given.
Absolutely.
And that serving is not a contrived, obligatory thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that just is a natural outflow of the love you have for her.
Yeah.
You love her, so therefore, you know, you wash the dishes or whatever.
Yeah, if she needs something done, I don't resist doing that.
Yeah.
And it's not a burden to me.
Yeah.
And Jesus even told us that his burden is not heavy. His yoke is not heavy. His burden is light.
If we're carrying a heavy burden, we're not hooked up with Jesus.
We're not hooked up with Jesus. Yeah, exactly. And I think one of the things that has been really eye-opening to me is realizing that a lot of what is done in the name of Jesus does not reflect Jesus at all.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that I've really tried to break free from over the past 4 years is I've stepped out of that box and gone beyond the box of the institution, is realizing that I did a lot of things that I thought I was doing for Jesus. Mm. And I don't think Jesus really wanted me to do those things.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those things were things he had already done for me.
Yeah.
And I just needed to rest in him.
For you, yeah.
You know, I used to, even when I was in the institution, I used to make the comment, you can be doing the work of God and not be doing the will of God.
Mm.
But I think it goes even beyond that. I think you can be doing works for God and it's not reflecting what he wants from you, because he wants you to rest in him and enjoy the position you have.
What did even Jesus himself say? He said, they said, what can we do that we can do the works of God? He said, here's the work of God. Believe in him who God sent.
Yeah.
It's like we've turned faith in Christ or a relationship with God into, you know, almost like a ledger where you have charges against your account.
Right.
You have payments to your account. And, you know, our point is do enough good work so you can stay in the black.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to go in the red. You
right.
know, sin puts you in the red. Good works keep you in the black. But to me, the freedom of relationship is that I am totally secure in him.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what happens, unconditionally, I am totally secure. And because of that, now my good deeds or any servanthood that comes from me is out of a heart of just pure gratefulness and love.
Yeah.
Simply because I want to bless him.
Mm.
Not because I'm trying to earn anything from him. Or, you know, I think when Paul, he was writing to the Romans, he said, you know, that the problem with the Jews was that they didn't submit to the righteousness of God.
Mm.
They went about seeking to establish their own righteousness because they refused to submit themselves. They refused to realize that the work had been done in Jesus.
Right.
And that all God wanted them to do was rest in him.
Yeah.
And just enjoy their lives with him.
Yeah.
And so they went about trying to create that and make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like banging your head against the wall.
Boy, it is.
Hurts.
It is. Yeah, it does.
Hurts tremendously.
And it's pretty stupid to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Wow. Man, I'm looking forward to doing these podcasts with
Wonderful.
You. This intro has been fun already.
Yeah.
I know the rest of the episodes are going to be a lot of fun. We've talked offline before we start doing this podcast about the type of interaction we want.
Yeah.
And why don't you talk a little bit about the format we're using and the comments and how you would like to see that work with our listeners.
Well, I would love to see people participate in the conversation. Our heart for this podcast, I believe, is not just to have people that are bystanders that are just listening to what we're saying, but that can actually contribute to the conversation. And we're going to have a comment section on each one of these podcasts that people can, they can either say, "You guys are on your way to hell, you heretics," or they can agree, or they can question.
They're setting up the stake and lighting the matches already.
Get the matches ready.
Yes, that would be stake.
The Christian flamethrowers.
Yeah.
But you know, we want to be able to have people interact with what we're doing, and not only interact with it, but actually form in the future some of the episodes we're going to do. We'd love to know what you guys think out there. We'd love to hear what you guys are saying. If you just want to say, "Gosh, I'm so thankful somebody out there is saying that," put that on there.
Because I know there are people out there who are feeling this. We've run into some of them online. This is not, you and I are not alone in this, right?
Yeah.
And there are people out there that need to know they're not alone, too, in this freedom
Absolutely.
In Christ.
I know for me, one of the things that got me excited about doing this was I've had some podcasts in my life that have been very much like my relationship with you, Steve, mm-hmm. that have helped me to hear what was already in my heart.
Yeah.
To confirm some things that I was already sensing, but was maybe afraid to embrace or afraid mm-hmm. to speak out loud. And so that was my heart for this podcast for us just to be able to maybe be a fellowship, a temporary fellowship that someone can have with mm-hmm. us that they can't have with any, you know, person that's with them.
Right. If they haven't found that person yet that they can talk to in real life and dialogue with over breakfast like we do.
Exactly. Yeah. That they can join our conversation and not only benefit from our conversation, but contribute to it.
Mm-hmm.
So guys, all you people out there, we would love for you to get into that comment section.
Yeah.
Write your questions, write your thoughts, write your comments, whatever you want to say. We're just wide open.
Yeah, and we mentioned in the intro to this podcast, and you'll hear this on every podcast until we change the intro, that we don't have a corner on the truth. We don't have all the answers. We're just thinking out loud.
You mean we don't have all the answers?
Well, I do, Ray, but I don't want to give them all to you yet.
Man, why am I even doing this? Gosh.
No, but that's part of the beauty of this is we don't have to have the answers. We are not the next conference or the next book or the next speaker for people to come to. We're just part of the journey with everybody else that's listening.
Yeah. So guys, we're glad to have you on board.
That's right.
Come on back. We're going to try and post maybe one of these a week or so. And don't hold us to that now.
But that's right.
Mercy.
Legalism here.
But we've been glad to have you guys along.
Yeah.
And we will see you on the next episode of Beyond the Box.
That's great.